greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, He is Lord. And I say that because it's true. I say that because it's real. I say that because the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And yes, sometimes the truth is difficult. Sometimes the truth is hard to deal with. Sometimes the truth is painful, but the truth does set you free. Walk in the truth. Be ye sons of light. Be set free from that which is the illusion, and be set free into that which is real and true. You know, the place where you're not going to go wrong is when you set your heart for truth. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's also the cornerstone. So when you set your heart for truth and you want to go in that direction, you want that to be your bedrock, you want that to be your foundation, when you want that, even if you get off course a little bit, even if you misstep, you're still redirecting yourself towards that truth. You're still redirecting yourself towards that which is real. You're still looking for that. So sometimes what happens is, you know, even well-meaning people, and sometimes people that, you know, are in their own place, in their own journey of life, but maybe not in the same place you are, they will want to correct or want to admonish you, or want you to tone it down, or want you to do this, or want you to do that. But still, if you have that within you which is compelling you, you will keep going in the direction that God has for you to go. Now, right now, with what we're living in the earth, we go through both our internal journey and our the revelation of who Christ Jesus is within us. And then we also go through the external journey of how we live out that revelation of Christ in us, in the world, and in the different situations that we now face and are surrounded by. And here's the thing. When you commit yourself to the truth and to Christ, and you want to walk in that, you will be in the minority. So you've got to accept that as part of your experience and your walk in your time in the earth. You are going to be a minority. That means that the majority vote is not going to be in line with the direction that you're going. But in a way, it's not a bad thing, because it is through the resistance, and is through the oppression, and is through the struggle that we face that we do get strong, that we realize what's important, that we know that which we would hold to regardless of the attacks that come against us. So it is a testing of our faith that builds perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and that hope does not disappoint. And yet, in the middle of that, we are human. We have a human frame. And even as Christ Jesus demonstrated in His own life, He felt so much of what we go through. He was a man of sorrows, as it says in the book of Isaiah. You know, Jesus Christ, in His time in the earth, felt sorrow and felt pain, even as we feel sorrow and we feel pain. And also He spoke of the joy of the Lord. He spoke of the peace that He gave. He gives not like the world gives. So there's a peace. So you have these different things going on within you. You have, at the same time we experience the sorrow and the pain of being in this life, we also have the peace and the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We also have that going on. We also have purpose in our time in this earth. We also have a reason for being in our time in the earth. We also have we're plugged into those skills, those talents, those abilities, those things that God has put in you, those gifts. Those will be empowered by His Spirit and quickened by His Spirit to accomplish the will of God in the earth. So it's not just your natural ability, but it's the natural ability plugged into the power and the presence of the living God, and that flowing through you that leaves a spiritual residue on everything that you do that changes the dynamic of what you live in and what you face in your time in the earth. You know, recently I had a chance to for a brief moment, and when I say brief, literally not even 5 minutes, for a specific reason, I stopped by an assembly, a congregation of people on a Sunday, and just in that short moment that I was there, you know, and I just caught the tail end of something that they were saying there. And I could just see the oppression that these people live under, and the fact that just from pulpit to pew, people are not free. And they don't know the voice of the Lord for themselves. They don't know how to walk things out with God for themselves. They want to just stay in the illusion. And here's the problem, is the illusion is coming apart. The illusion is starting to break at the seams. The illusion is starting to split. And as the illusion splits, and as it's starting to crack up, so are the people. As things are being brought into the light, kicking and screaming, so are the people. And it's amazing to me how, within Christian circles, how so often when light comes out, how instead of people saying, let's dig in, let's get to the bottom of this, let's find this out, how they just want to shut it off and turn it off. Because the reality is too painful. When somebody has invested 20 years of their life into building up something that then later on they find out that wasn't it, that's a hard reality. You know, I remember when I used to swim, I swam in college and I swam for a pretty good national program at the time. And a couple years after I got done, I ended up spending some time with, I ended up traveling overseas, and I just ended up, you know, in the middle of some different things. And that program actually, it ended up getting cut. Now, I remember that a lot of guys had a hard time, you know, with that, when that program ended up getting cut, because the result of it was, you know, people had put in years of their life into swimming in a program, and it was difficult for them to see all of that they had done. You know, they'd built up a culture there, they had, you know, they had traveled, they had competed, they had built a good name, and all of a sudden the program got cut because of, you know, it was more along the lines of, it was a non-revenue generating sport, it was an Olympic sport, there was an athletic director at the time that was just really a money guy, and, you know, and he coordinated with schools, several other state schools, I think, several other, you know, major programs got cut that very same time because they all just said, look, let's just do this all at once. So, but it was when other swimmers, other guys that had gone through that program, when all of a sudden that program wasn't there anymore, it was like it was a loss for them because, you know, something is not there anymore that they were a big part of. And, you know, I mean, for me, yeah, sure, of course, you know, there's some emotions attached to it to a small degree, but one thing that God had always shown me is these are different things that I do. It's not who I am. So that's why, you know, one moment I can be a swimmer, or I can be on the national team, or I can do those kind of things, and then the next moment I can run a company, or I can be going, because the different things that we do is not who we are. And if you, and that will make it easier, much, much, much easier for you when you go through this life, if you realize the difference between who you are and what you do, and how, if who you are is tied up into what you do, then you're going to be in trouble. Because when what you do gets rocked, so do you. See, when who you are is who you are in Christ Jesus, that's going to stay consistent. It's going to continue to grow, and that's an eternal state of being. But when who you are is what you do and is something external, then as soon as that external is messed with, so are you. So when the external is no longer working, now you're in trouble because your reality is based in that. What's the second question people in this world ask you? The first one is, hi, nice to, you know, what's your name? The second question is, so what do you do? Right? Right. Why? All right, a few reasons. One is to lock you, is to figure out, okay, how do you fit? You know, in this external world where everybody defines themselves by who they are and what they do, or rather who they are by what they do, they want to know how you fit. And there's also a spiritual side to it too, because in the realm of the spirit, it doesn't matter as much in that realm what you do, because they can tell if you're not like them. And so whatever position you might hold, if it's one that's in their mind higher, they will, behind your back, they will, you know, try to undercut you and try to, they'll be nice to your face, but they will always try to stab you in the back because you're made different than they are. And if you're below them and they can exert power over you in their system, they're definitely going to try. And they're going to be much more overt and blatant about that. But for the follower of Christ, we walk out. Walk out from among them. You don't have to be part of that. You don't have to be part of that illusion. You don't have to be part of that confusion. You don't have to be part of that deception. You don't have to be part of anything, because God has set you free. He set you free to worship Him. He set you free to know the truth. He set you free to see between the lies and the deception. Now, when you see between those things, realize that there are definitely a set of people that are there that have invested so much of themselves down a particular line because they bought into, at times, a lie and a falsehood. And they may be good people in, you know, the traditional sense of that. You know, they may be kind people, but they've gone down the wrong path. And it's traumatic for people that have gone down the wrong path. I remember one time I was visiting, I was passing through in a very large, large church, quote unquote. And there was a lady who was hosting me at the time. And the lady that was hosting me, she just asked me. She was just like, you know, Govinda, what happened to our church? She was like, what happened? She was like, where did this whole thing go wrong? And she had put so much of her life into that place. And it was heartbreaking for me because I realized, you know, this person, this poor person, had put so much of themselves into this thing. And they had put themselves into this external thing. And they so badly wanted to see the right things happen. And they weren't. And they were going the other way. But the problem is that she didn't understand the bare truth, which is the kingdom is within you. And when the kingdom is within you, all these externals are going to melt off. Because with the externals, listen, whatever you do, let it be what the Spirit of God leads you to do. Whatever it is, you do it with all of your heart. You do all things as unto the Lord. And it's not defined by your doing. It's defined by your being. It's defined by success is in the obedience. It's not in the outcome. Because if you do what God has for you to do, the outcomes will take care of themselves. So, your success is in being. And when does it happen? It happens right now. He is, I am. You walk with Him right now in this moment. And whatever it is that He has for you to do, that's what you do right now. In this very moment, what does God have for me to do? He asked for me to do this. Right here. Speak the word. Speak the truth. Say whatever the Spirit of God wants to flow through. And that's it. So, I need to be right here, right now. Everything else in this world can be what it is, but this is where God has me, and there's peace, there's joy, there's purpose, there's direction in this right now. And in the following moments that come through, as soon as this recorder goes off, there's something else. And you walk in that. You walk in a place of freedom and in existence. You know what? You'll see much, much, much more of this in nature than you'll ever see in human beings under this current paradigm. Because in nature, animals just, they are what they are, by and large. Consider the birds. You know, they neither sow nor reap nor store in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. That's what Jesus said. He said, look at these. Look at my creation. That's what God said to us. Look at my creation. Look what I put in place. I take care of them. And they walk with me. They know me. They know my voice. And they live in connection with me. And as they live and they go through their cycle of life here in the earth, I take care of them. I watch over them. I feed them. I clothe them. Clothe in the sense that, you know, in the sense that they're covered and they're taken care of. God watches over them and gives them exactly what they need to exist in their time in the earth. And likewise, we have what we need to exist in our time in the earth. And not just to exist, but to thrive. And to transcend this reality. But that comes on His terms. That comes on a connection with Him. That comes from a place of surrendering your life into His hands. And not being caught up in the illusion. The illusion has nothing for you, and so many people cannot deal with the fact that the illusion is so rotten from the very core. And because it's rotten through and through, when shards of light start coming through and revealing it for what it is, it's traumatizing for them because they've believed in the lie. They've wanted so badly to believe that there's Santa Claus. And when they find out that there is no Santa Claus, they can't deal with it. You remember when Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, when he goes through his explanation from the beginning of time through to Jesus Christ and the revelation of who he is, and he says, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh, wait, actually, you know what? And these guys cover their ears and they go, la, 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 la. It's like that. Yeah. Let me read you this one. It's pretty cool. Let's see. Okay. All right, and let's see. Great. Okay, so chapter 7, and verse 1, and just goes on. From there, so if you want to read this whole chapter, it says, and then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of Abraham appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shew thee. And from here, he goes through Stephen discussing this, and it's a great chapter to read, of how God worked with people throughout. You know, the people that followed him knew his voice, and all that that took place in that. But so you can go and read that a little later, but read chapter 7. But it says in verse 45, which our forefathers that came after brought in with Jesus unto the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the day of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, which incidentally aligns with Luke 17, 20 and 21. The kingdom of God is within you. So he doesn't dwell in temples made by hands, and he doesn't dwell in these buildings. He dwells within us. Verse 49, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which shewed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispositions of angels and have not kept it. Before I get into verse 54. So here he is, quickened by the Holy Spirit, standing up there, giving a brilliant disposition of all that has transpired before, how God set things up throughout time, and showing the pattern, and how again and again and again, when the truth came forward, when God put his people out there, how they were persecuted, how they were rejected, how they were horribly treated, and in the process of all that they went through, and now it says, and even when the Just One, of whom the Just One, capital J, capital O, Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, and you betrayed the Just One, you betrayed truth, you betrayed light, you betrayed that which was real, for what? For your religion. You betrayed him to keep your system going. Because remember when they wanted to crucify Jesus, they put it forward. It's better for one man to die for the nation than for us to lose this whole thing that we got going. And that was a prophetic word, even though they didn't know what they were saying. They thought they were just going to kill him and save their nation. But in fact, he was going to die for the salvation of that nation. It's amazing how God accomplishes his purposes in right there. That's an incredible thing. But even with this, and he's putting it out there, he says, verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And kneeling down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Incredible. Incredible. He speaks the truth. He puts it out there. It's his words. It's his testimony that God gives him to say. And in the process, because all of a sudden that rips through their heart, and all of a sudden it cuts, and they realize and they know it's true. And what do they want to do with that truth? They want to destroy it. They want to kill it. They want to put it out. They block up their ears and they go, la, 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 la. And they don't want to hear anymore. They can't take it. Why? Because they got their priestly robes on, and because they've spent every day of their life in absorbed in a system that they realize is false. They realize that the very thing that they thought was real is actually a lie. And they can't deal with it. They can't take it. Even Saul, they laid down their feet they laid down their clothes at the feet of a man named Saul, who later became Paul. And when Paul had that same revelation on the Damascus Road, for him, he couldn't deal with it. It took him 3 years to reconcile and to understand the scriptures from that perspective. Because he had to go to the backside of the desert himself. He couldn't deal with it, because the very thing that he thought he was doing good. And it turned out that he was persecuting the very people of God. The God he thought he was serving, he was actually persecuting. He was on the side of darkness, and God had taken from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, as it says in Acts chapter 26. God had to take him from one to the other, and he didn't realize that he was even on the wrong side. He thought he was doing God a service. And they said in the scriptures, and Jesus even said, the time is coming that they will put you out of their synagogues, and they will kill you, and they will do this, and they will think that they're offering God a service, but they do that because they don't know me. And why do they not know that knowing is a consummation? They're not one with me. They are not one in spirit with me. And because they're not one with the truth, because they're not one with me, because they do not know the voice of the real, true, living one, the just one, they don't know his voice. He's external. God is over there and they're over here. And because they're separate from him and they don't know him, they don't know you. Because they don't know you, they want to kill you. They want to destroy you. They want to discredit you. You know, I remember, I'm just going back years now, but I remember when that thing came out after the tsunami, where there was that group called Gospel for Asia with K.P. Yohannan. And this video is still up on faithmix.com. You got to go into the archives and you got to find it there. Because we've kept it out there. And at the time, when we exposed this, we were the only ones that exposed this. We were the only ones that showed that these guys were, they went out and they flooded the airwaves saying that we're going to raise, we've been asked, because of the integrity of our organization, that we've been asked to take care of 10,000 tsunami orphans in the country of Sri Lanka. And so that's what we're going to do. And they were asking money from all these people to help take care of 10,000 orphans. There was not even 10,000 orphans in the whole country. Because the same time they were doing that news, I was sitting down and spending time with the National Child Protection Authority in Sri Lanka, and we were discussing the actual statistics and everything that was there. And in that country, at that very same time, there was 3,004 children that had lost one parent, so they still had one parent left, and there's 893 children that lost both parents in the entire country. So there was not even 10,000 orphans in the whole country to begin with. And yet, this credible, quote-unquote, missions organization funding money from the West and taking it all into their coffers was saying, we're going to take care of 10,000 orphans because we've got all of this integrity. And you know, when we put that out there and when we told people, and we told people the point blank truth and gave them, here's what's going on. Here's what's taking place. Here is the official documented information that's out there. All you got to do is read one, put here's one, plus one, plus one, plus one, equals four. You just got to add up this one, this one, this one, and this one. And all we're going to do is show you, here's the different pieces, and this is what's there. And you know how many people, how many quote-unquote Christians shot at us for doing that? We had people saying they hoped we were wrong. Why? Because they couldn't take the fact that we were right. They couldn't take the fact that this was truth coming forward. They couldn't take the fact that they had backed and financed the wrong thing that supported murderers and killers and liars and child abusers. They've been part of that system and they couldn't deal with it. Now, specifically within Gospel for Asia, I don't know all the backstories of what they did, but the one thing that we do know is that they were involved in fraudulent fundraising. But as far as the world goes, when people start coming out of that, and they start realizing that the very system that they've been partaking in is actually one that's involved in child abuse, child sacrifice, crazy, crazy forms of trafficking. Listen. Trafficking right now, according to the IOM, International Office of Migration Statistics, right now, they've revised the figures, it is a $150 billion global industry, as of right now. So whenever this audio goes up, these audios are dated, so you can go and you can check this. This stats out there, it's online, this is not our information, this is what's out there. $99 billion, sex trafficking, and $51 billion in labor and in other extensions of the trafficking world. That's what their estimates are right now as an organization. They've revised it and realized that it was at least more than triple what the previous estimates were. Now, a couple weeks ago, they talked about Apple computers having the quote-unquote highest business profits in the history of mankind at $18 billion for a quarter. Listen, $18 billion looks like a startup compared to human trafficking. All right? $18 billion is a sneeze compared to what the human trafficking industry is. Now, think about it with a logical mind for a second, can we? Apple, with all of the support and lobbying in and government interactions and all of these other pieces, with everything that is done and their ability to have technology at their back and marketing efforts and all the rest of that, they are profit-wise only an $18 billion a quarter industry in that best quarter that they've ever had, compared to a $150 billion industry in the trafficking world, which is much, 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 much more on a quarterly basis than Apple could dream of. Do you think that human trafficking became a $150 billion industry without some help, some support, some involvement? Just logically, from people that are in positions where they can make that go forward? Call it craziness. Allow your mind to think. How does something that is modern day slavery and the worst forms of destruction of humanity and your fellow human being, how does it become a $150 billion industry when the top company that they can trout today can only do $18 billion in a quarter? How do you get $150 billion in pain and misery and the destruction of the souls of others? Did it just happen? Think. And you know what? Here's the thing. When people start to, just these little shards of truth, when they start to come out, what happens? People do the same thing they did with Stephen. They put their hands over their ears and they gnash their teeth and they go la 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 la. And what do? They, instead of dealing with the reality or just digging in and saying, okay, I will accept the responsibility that there's something that needs to be done about this, and I will see what I can engage in. Maybe the stats are wrong and I got to go back and I got to look. Maybe I need to engage and find out, or just I got to do something. No, what do they need to do? They need to shut you up. They need to get you to shut up. And how do they do that? Shoot the messenger. So take a lesson from Stephen in Acts chapter 7. When they're trying to drag you out back and kill you, realize that this has been going on for a long time. And realize that they, what do? This is classic here. And when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart. Okay, I want to find this verse here, because this is absolutely classic. And behold, cast him out of the city, stone him. And verse 58, and the witnesses laying down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Laying down their clothes. So they took off their priestly robes, those symbols of their spiritual and religious authority, put them down at the feet of a young man named Saul so that they could go and murder a man. Is that contradiction not insane? Let's take off these symbols of our spiritual authority that we've assumed over the people that they allow and give to us, and let us go over here and now let us murder this man. And as soon as we get done, we're going to put these clothes back on. Oh, and you know, there's accounts from human trafficking, plenty of these, where there's been clergy that have come in, and then survivors, trafficked women, have talked about this, where the priests will come in and they will have their robes on, and they will put down their robe. And they will take off their robes, they will put the Bible on top, and they will go over and they will engage in sexual acts with these trafficked women. And then once they're done, they go and they put their robes back on, pick up their Bible, and they go. Oh, come on, you know this stuff goes on. This shouldn't be a shock for you. You know, the Survivors Conference that they had, let's see here, it's either last year or the year before, in Kansas City. And different heads of different survivors groups. And a lot of times, less than 1% of the people that come out of trafficking, or less than 1% of the people that are trafficked, I should say, come out alive. Of that 1%, there's a handful that they channel their energies and all the hurt and pain that they had and they went through into trying to fight and combat the issue, and they try to do something positive with that experience that they went through. And within the Survivors Conference, you're distilling it down, less than 1%, and the ones that have the strength to be able to actually talk about it and not just spend the rest of their lives crying and broken, but they actually try to do something positive. And among those groups, and they had one of the heads of one of the organizations that said at that conference that they had, because within the world of trafficking, there's this, they call it the three P's, prevention, protection, and prosecution. But they said within the trafficked victims that they have their own three P's, which are politicians, pastors, and policemen. This is not me saying this. This is what they've said. The survivors have said. They said those are their biggest buyers. God help us. God help us. God forgive us. Forgive us as a people and as a race on this planet. Forgive us for not embracing the truth and going with you. God forgive us, Lord God, for what this whole thing has become. And for how many lives have been damaged. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive your church, your true church, for not speaking out like we've needed to and not having the courage of our convictions to take a stand when no one else would take a stand. Lord God, forgive us and quicken us even in this late hour. to be what you would have us to be in the earth, to stand up and to be a witness. In Jesus' name, Lord God, forgive us and help us, Lord. Amen. God, help us. So as things continue to go forward, as things continue to come to a head, know that God has a role for you to play in all this. And whether we live another day or whether we live another 100 years, doesn't matter. Whatever it is that we live in the earth, let it be unto the Lord. Let your life be a reflection of His. And the way that that works is turn your face towards Him and walk in that direction every day of your life. And in that, just know too that we love you. We're praying for you. The truth, and they're followers of the truth, they are out there and they're doing the works of the Lord. And you, my brother and sister, you are a part of that. So be encouraged and know that God has His plan and purpose at work in the earth at such a time as this, and we're part of that. All right, we love you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We love you. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you.